No. All right, I'm going to ask my friend Henry, because this is Henry Schmidt. Henry's a really good friend of mine. We've known each other since 1991. He's one of my heroes in life. 1991. And Henry's a great man of faith. He can, and I want him just to tell a little bit. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about himself, because he's very familiar with your area. So tell him a little bit, Henry, who you are. And
well, I'm Henry. I'm a father and a grandfather. By the way, that says a lot there. My grandparents. Yeah. Some changes then. But first of all, I'm a son. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I got a father who loves me. Amen. Amen. That's been a revelation. 42 years ago, a little ways down the road here. Let's see. Is that east? That way?
No.
Nelson. Which way now?
There.
That way. Yeah. Okay. Spokane Valley. Yeah. Yeah, I came to the end of myself.
Amen.
Yeah. I've been running. There's a few runners that come up here.
Oh, yeah.
I see Prince Rupert. You know, people have come as far as Prince Rupert, and they have no place else to go. In the mid-70s, I ran to the Christians. I didn't even know why. Can anything good come out of the Kootenays?
Yeah.
God's doing a good work. They had to do something. So he's doing a good work. He's an awesome father, and he's doing a good work in you. He's doing a good work in me. Well, that was 42 years ago. Well, you know, there's different stations along the way. When your life changes, and Ted and I, yeah, our relationship goes back
25 years.
25.
We're going 91.
91.
Okay.
Renewal time. Renewal time. Yeah. And you know, God brought us together for such a time. That was a good time then, but today's a good time now.
Yeah.
That now is a good time to look.
Yeah.
Then, God, that was good. But I can't go back there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the first times that I've come back to the Kootenays. It's been a lot of changes in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure you can say the same thing. You look back over 42 years, right? God's been faithful. When he first started, when the light first shone in my heart. 35 years of pastoring since then. You know, I wanted to always be trained up in the Kootenays. And Kootenays was so good to me. And I wanted to give something back. But I went back to Bible school and I never came back. I'd bring my wife back. You know, we'd meet some of the people. And I just constantly, it was like a love affair that was going on with this place. So beautiful, right? And God has so much grace towards this place and its people in it. And so when Ted asked me to come this time, it was just a really good witness in my heart. Yeah, it's time. And it's been for such a time as this. So here we are now in such a time as this. I look forward to what God just really wants to do. He's a loving father. And we're beautiful sons and daughters of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with that combination, there's no limitations. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So thank you, Ted, for this opportunity to be here together. Back in some of my roots country. Amen.
Yeah.
You'll hear more of Henry's gonna be sharing as well this weekend, and we've got a real grace on his life, the presence of the Holy Spirit is on him as a good friend. And so it's a real privilege. I'm going to be speaking this weekend. There's a word that's been in my spirit for 2016, and some of you follow my blog, which actually has been difficult lately because I got hacked on every site I had last year.
And that's all been solved now. So if you're not on there, try it again. Register at ted4u.com or just Ted the Leader. And you can follow me, it'll go out to you. But I've been writing on partnership, is a big word. And so it's a real privilege for me. You're the first place that I ministered in 2016.
Right.
The last time I ministered was in 2015 at my home church. My son was the pastor there, and I got to speak to the congregation and concluded the year with some things, some direction prophetically, and I'm going to begin the year with some of those similar veins here and talk to you about partnership. And I don't think it's an accident that my friend Henry is here with me, because we're partnering this weekend to come and to share our heart what we believe God is saying in this season and this time, not just generically, but to you specifically, as well as what is God saying to you? What is he saying to us as the family of God? What is he saying to us as the community of God? You do understand that the community of God is a greater place than the communities of the world. And you understand that there is an internal kingdom that's absolutely revolutionary, that's transforming the kingdoms of the world. That we have a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that from our hearts we cry out, "Oh God, you're my God." And I don't fake it. It comes from within us. Because Holy Spirit has set up his habitation, not a place of visitation. He set up his habitation inside. And so from our hearts we can get real. We can say, "God, you're my God." Many of you have heard me say this before. I believe that paradox is a place where nothing works without God. Right? Therefore, it's also a place where everything works with God. The last thing I want is a place where everything works without God. I want a place where everything is dependent on God. That's true righteousness. I don't want a place that depends on me being right. I want a place that's dependent upon the one who is right, the one who is righteous. You know, his righteousness is different than my self-righteousness. You know what? You know what he did? He said that I was worthy of being loved when I wasn't. Now that is wrong. He said mercy to me when I did not deserve mercy. I still don't deserve it. He said life to me when I deserved death. He didn't judge me by a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He made one judgment for me based on a tree of life. And the judgment was this. That's my son. And he wants to tell you tonight, first and foremost, is we're in a brand new year. He wants to say, "I've made a judgment for you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You were born to be loved by me." Before you ever considered being right about anything, you were born to be loved by me. And it's being loved by me that will cause you to be right in anything. And being right is not the objective. Knowing how much you love. When you know how much you love, then you begin to love others. And so we're in a brand new year, and I believe it's a year of partnership. Partnership with unlikely things. And you know what? It's unlikely that this Canadian and this American would ever meet. We met 25 years ago, and you know, we've been through a lot of things, and but you know, something that God has told me about Bob Henry. God told me many years ago, he said, "Henry always has a place at your table." And so I know, as long as I'm on planet Earth, and as long as Henry's on planet Earth, he's got a place at my table, and I know I have a place at his. He's my friend. There's no question about that. And you know what? That's never going to change. I don't have to say, "Well, you know, if he disagrees with me, then that's going to change." Well, that, if he disagrees with me, it's not going to change. Because our partnership is not based upon a knowledge of what our perceived good or our perceived evil, or even good or evil. Our partnership is based on the fact that God loves us, and he decided to love us together. That's a better agreement. A bigger agreement and a better agreement. So partnership, and I think it's appropriate that here we are partnering coming in. Now, as I talk about partnership, first of all, I want to remind you what I said the last time I was here in Castleman. Because we did a weekend on hope. And it was hope unveiled. And I told you that if we hope in things, then we're going to become disappointed. Because when you hope in things, it sets us up for a root of bitterness. How many of you have found that what God says never turns out the way you thought? And he said, has anybody had anything that God promised you that turned out exactly the way you thought? What he said? How can I have it? But how many of you have had things that God has said that turned out better than you thought they could? And they looked, it looked worse at first, and then it came better than you could. See, he's a good God, and he loves him. And so our hope is not in what he does, our hope is in him. And we, last time I was here, I said, when we hope in him, he gives abundant mercy, he gives passionate pardons. There's you don't know whether you need a beginning or you need an ending or you need an ending or you need a beginning. So quit hoping in beginnings and endings and put your hope in the one who has no beginning and no end.
Yeah,
amen. And then whatever you need, yeah. So we said hope. Now I'm saying that because if I'm going to talk to us this weekend about partnership, I want you to turn to a verse or listen to this for a moment. This is in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13, verse 13. So we'll go for the odd numbers. It's a leap year. So 13, 13.
There you go.
So now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. So I talked to you about hope the last time I was here, but I believe that here we are at the seeds of a partnership. And this is going to be an amazing year. And it's going to be a year of a partnership of faith, hope, and love. But you need to understand that partnership is not a partnership to get. It's a partnership to, it's not a partnership for your personal benefit. It's a partnership for love.
Yeah.
Now, you need to know that also faith, hope, and love, you cannot have faith without having hope. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So that right there tells me I can't even have faith if I don't know where to put my hope first. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. How can I have the substance of something if I don't? I can't have the substance of something I hope for if I don't know what I hope for. Now, I used to think that faith was the substance of something that I hoped for, but I have come to grow and understand in my now 42 and a half years of Christ, because, hey, we're the same year, age in Christ, too. You see, we're like two peas from different pots. Half of us in Canada, half of us in America. What a partnership.
No borders.
No borders.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Yeah, we're expanding the territory. Look at one of my daughters from home is up here with Jimmy here at 5 minutes. Unexpected partnership. And it's amazing. We're already starting off the year. You guys don't know these guys. Come on. Awesome. We're blessed. The planet is short. Quick trip between here and Bellingham, Michigan. So, I used to think that hope was in a thing, and faith was in a thing, faith was in a promise. But I found out that faith cannot be in a promise. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, and hope can't be in a promise. Last time I was here, I told you that Amos, the prophet, Amos, prophets are amazing because they see things that they're supposed to see in their prophets. They see things that are real instead of things that are trying to say they're real. So in a time when everything's crooked, you go to the prophet and say, what do you see, prophet? And what does he say? I see a bloodline. He doesn't say, I see everything's crooked. He said, I see the answer. I see a bloodline, for goodness sakes. I see a string dropping down from heaven with a weed on the bottom of it that's going to make everything all right. And then he says, seek me, God says, and live. Don't seek Bethel. Don't seek the house of God. How many of you have been to 15 churches because you've been seeking the house of God? Don't raise your hand. Come on, we're in the cookies. Oh, yeah, come on now. It's okay. Hey, come on, all the chickens are coming home to roost. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is there's one body in the cookies, and there are many streams. Okay? But the truth is, we've all been to somebody, brothers, cousins, neighbors, nephews, church sometime. I haven't been going here a while. I mean, some of you, I used to minister to in that church, but not minister to me. It is all wonderful. It's all wonderful. Because the things were important yesterday, you're going to find out tomorrow they ain't so important. Ouch, why is he meddling already? So, we don't put our hope in Bethel, the house of God, because if we're looking for the house of God, you're in it. So you shouldn't be running looking for something that you already have. It's like if you got a job and it's a terrible job, I got one question for you. I thought you worked there. But it's a terrible place to work. I thought you worked there. So all it takes is one, you know, in the world it takes one rotten apple to spoil the bunch, but in the kingdom all it takes is one good. To transform the world. You know it's true. Because God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. He didn't send His million begotten. He said the only one. And He said one is enough. One is enough. And take it away. So, I don't seek Bethel. So don't seek Bethel. Don't seek Gilgal, the place of the rolling away. Let me give that to you in modern Canadian language. Deliverance, healing. Don't seek your deliverance. Don't seek your healing. Don't seek Gilgal. Don't seek the way of the rolling away of your reproach. Don't seek the house of God. The house of God's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Don't seek it. Hey, getting your healing, getting your deliverance, getting your reproach rolled away, that's good, isn't it? Don't seek it. Don't seek Beersheba, the place of the seven oaths, seven wells, the promise. The covenants, the promises. How many of you like the promises of God? I like the promises. Hold my hands are up. I had four hands, I put them all up. I've got two. I like the promises of God. Don't seek the promises of God. Because Amos the prophet said this, as the prophetic word said, if you seek the house of God, if you seek the place of your healing, your deliverance, if you seek the promises of God, it'll end up as wormwood. That's bitterness. Bitterness. Why? Because things don't ever turn out the way you thought, and if you're looking for something that God does, you're going to be greatly disappointed. You might need it a day before it happens. No? So what does he say? He says, you know, in a day when everything's crooked, he said those with common sense, the prudent, those with common sense, shut up. They're innocent to evil and wise to good, and they seek God. So we put our hope in God. So now, faith is the substance, in Hebrews 11, of things hoped for. So I put my hope in God. Faith is a substance of something that I hope for. But I hope for God. My hope is in a person. And faith is toward a person. The opposite of faith is natural sight. Now you've heard me before. That's good. And you listen. And you remember. And that's good. I want to put that in my pocket. I lost the clip. That's all right. Things still work. Okay. So faith, the opposite of faith is sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now what's sight? Sight is what does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What do I think it looks like? What do I think it feels like? What do I think it sounds like? What do I remember it was before? What do I think it could be? My natural senses is natural sight. That's the opposite of faith. And you won't be able to get what you hope for if you live in a realm of natural sight. Everybody's got a story. Everybody has a history. And by the way, everybody's been hurt by somebody. Did you know how we all became different? Somebody hurt somebody somewhere, and we all became different. So that we can get over our hurts and become.
God scattered us in the hope that we would come back together. But it doesn't come by natural sight. It comes by the opposite of natural sight, which is faith. So what's the opposite of faith? It's natural sight. So now, most commonly when I say, except for you've heard me before, so you've got the answer down now, but most commonly in a crowd, if I say, what's the opposite of faith? Almost always people say fear or doubt. But fear is not the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of love. And you know how faith works? It works through love. Where there's no love, faith cannot work. So every time we've had faith toward promises at the expense of love, we've not had faith toward anything. So faith works through love. So faith must be toward a person then, because it's about love. I can't love a thing. I've got promises that God has said to me. You know, He's promised me this. He told me many years ago, He's promised me that when I'm old, which I'm not yet, He's given me a promise. He's given me a promise that when I'm old, I'll be known to the place that God came. Now, I view myself is a body that has many branches that extend into many nations. And wherever I am, that's where I am. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. I view myself as a family. I don't view myself as a person. And wherever I am, that's where I am. And when I'm old, I want to be known as the place that God came. That's my home. And I live on that promise, but you know what? My hope is not in that it'll be the place that God came. My hope is in God. That's how He's going to come. So faith works through love. So faith is toward a person. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But hope is in a person. Hope is in God. Now it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds, and if we translated that word worlds into English, maybe a little more accurately, we understand that the aeons or the ages, not the planet, not the galaxies, and what aeons, what ages? The ages of the elders, the ages of Noah, the ages of Abram, the ages of Daniel, the ages of people who are talked about in this chapter. By faith, the aeons, the world, the ages were framed, not created, framed. Formed, framed. In other words, they were a pile of rubble. They were a pile of trouble. It was a pile of stuff in the front of the faces of elders who heard God, the one who loves them. They heard the voice of the one who loves humanity, and they responded to the voice of love, and a pile of rubble, a pile of trouble became framing material for a new day, for such a time as this. So the worlds were framed, the ages were framed, what? By the word of God, not by the logos of God, not by the Bible, not by the Torah, by the rhema, by God's voice to their hearts. Their worlds were framed by an intimate voice, not by a legalistic law voice of what they said God said yesterday or what they interpreted God said yesterday. I don't know about you, but I almost always listen to something to me.
Yeah.
Half the time, I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe that's an exaggeration. It's probably worse than that. But I know the one I'm talking about.
I do know where I'm going, I just don't know where it is or what. I'm following the voice. I'm not following the voice so that I'll be something. I'm following the voice because I am something. I'm loved. He's not going to love me when I get to a certain place. He already loved me. My world is not going to get good when things change. My world is already good. Some days it's terrible. Some days it's wonderful. And my pile of rubble, my pile of trouble can be framing material for a changed world because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what is my partnership? This is a year of partnership, and I'm proposing to you that the greatest partners you're going to need this year are faith, hope, and love, or you won't frame anything. So that the things which are seen are made of things which are not visible. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Now, on planet Earth, we have two administrations. You understand the word administration? You have a new administration in Canada, don't you? You had some elections, and some of you voted for what you got. Some of you voted against what you got, but you got what you got. So you have a new administration in Canada.
Yep.
It is what it is, right? And so you either love it, hate it, mixed bag, whatever, you got an administration. They changed the administration. At least they think they changed administrations. They didn't really change total administration. They just made a different way of rearranging the chairs on the deck of the ship. But on the side of the boat called Canada, it's spelled T-I-T-A-N-I-C. Titanic, is that right? Yeah. And we have administration in America also. We're going to change administrations. Well, a lot of people are scared about that. What's going to happen with the change of administration? It don't matter who gets in. On the side of the boat called America, it says T-I-T-A-N-I-C, right? Is that 10? Right? Is that how you spell it? Did I spell it right?
I don't
spell it. I'm not sure if you type it. I don't care. The Titanic's going down anyway, buddy. See, the administration of the world is like the Titanic. It changes the chairs, refocuses them, changes the chairs out for couches, installs beds and hammocks, changes out metal chairs for plastic chairs for leather chairs for wooden chairs, iron chairs welded to the deck. But the problem is the name on the side of the boat is still the same, going down. The kingdoms of the world are not the kingdoms of God apart from Christ, but they have become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ.
Yeah.
But the kingdom of God is a grassroots revolution.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is not an external influence. It's an internal influence that transforms the human heart. You cannot change your neighbor. Stop trying. But become your neighbor's friend. Embrace the kingdom of God, which is inside of you. It's a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. And let it consume your kingdom. And then watch what your neighbor sees. Because your neighbor's looking for the same kingdom of love that you're looking for. Internal revolution. And it's consuming the nations of the world. I'm not looking for it. I'm not looking for Jesus to come back and change the world. He's been continually coming for 2,000 years changing the world.
Yeah.
Come on, the proof is in the pudding. For goodness sakes, I'm 42 years old in Christ. I'm different. How about you? There's no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. Grace! Grace! Now, in the world, there are two administrations. You got to serve somebody. They sang a song. You got to serve somebody. It might be. So you got two kingdoms. This is your choice. You got a kingdom that's. How many of you got a family tree? I traced my family tree back a bit. I got back into Norway in the 1700s. I found a guy named Osten. I found a couple before that. Osten, who was He was Austin Hanson Holton. He was Austin, son of Hanson, village of Holton. I found him. Actually, I found his daddy and his daddy, too. They didn't have any surnames. They were just son of so-and-so and such a village. I traced them back to the 1700s, and then I found some records that were further back. The problem is they're written in Norwegian, not Norwegian. Norwegian is not a clue. But it's my family tree. So my family tree in the natural comes from these Norwegian groups. One side, I got a yellow flag with a nice fjord sailing boat on. That's the village from my mama's side. The village from my dad's side is also a yellow flag, but it's got a big battle axe for taking off heads. That's my dad's side. So I got my masculine side, my feminine side, they come from Norway, in my family tree. What's my family tree? Now, my family was a little messed up. They used to go Odin and Thor and all that other stuff, but then they met Jesus. My family changed. Okay? So my family tree. Now, family tree? We know in the world there's two family trees. There's a family tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there's a family tree called the tree of life. Which family tree do you choose? Now, the kingdoms of the world like the family tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, God has given us a way out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when you have a knowledge, is an informing tree. It's not a transforming tree. It's an informing tree. It informs you the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. It's an informing tree. Give me enough information about good. Give me enough information about evil so that I can make good decisions. Live a good life, be a good person, and live a good life. What do you think? Give me enough, come on, give me enough informing. I just need information. Ignorance is, oh, that's terrible. Inform me. Try to get something into me. Would you give me information? I need to be formed. I need information to inform me. I need to be formed. I need to be formed. Form me. Would you give me enough information so that I can be a good person, do good things, and live a good life? You know, that's the family tree called the knowledge of good and evil. I, 42 years ago, got a revelation that I didn't even know what I got a revelation of. What I asked for was a different tree. I don't need an informing tree. I need a transforming tree. Don't inform me anymore. I suck at doing what I'm told. Don't inform me. Transform me to become the likeness and the image of my heavenly Daddy. Make me like my heavenly Father. Make me an expression of God in character, in nature, in way, in power, and authority. Cause me to be like heaven's grace. Cause me to become the embodiment of love. Oh, this is a dangerous prayer. Cause me to become forgiveness. You can't become forgiveness unless you come face to face with unforgiveness, and it doesn't change. When shame is thrown at you, you don't become shame. When hate is thrown at you, you don't become hate. When something of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil cannot change who you are, you know you found your roots in the tree of life. It's scandalous. You see, it's a different justice system. God hates injustice, but he doesn't measure justice by right and wrong. He measures it by love. And he's willing to forgive those who think you should be loved. And he's also willing to forgive those who you know should not be loved. Two administrations. One is an administration of the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong. The other is an administration of the tree of life. Love. And this is the year 2016 where God wants the kingdom of God to influence the kingdoms of the world. And fresh and new.
Let's talk about the cougars. It's easy to talk to cougars somewhere else. What about where we live? 3:16, God says, you can believe it or not, but I know he says it. He says it's a year of partnership. It's a year of partnership between hope and joy. The year where my family tree takes deeper root, puts forth stronger shoot. The year where my family tree releases branches and provides shelter and shade. Branches, places of refuge, places of destiny, places of purpose. The year where my family tree begins to influence the family tree of the world. Now, many years ago, I was in my city, back in my spooky spiritual years. I had some of those. My spooky spiritual years is when I spent more time being a spook than being natural. I learned from that. So I used fast 10, off 2, fast 10, off 2, fast 15. I was weird. Raised a cow from the dead 3 times before my wife made me let it go. I had some strange years. But it was a journey. And I was on a journey. And in my journey, I was coming on a journey and discovering this place of the tree of life. And why did I say that? You talking about me?
Yeah, you're being led by the Spirit.
Okay, good. I was. Well, really good. Let me get back to why I said that. I'm sure that's the thing. We're in the cookies, and so here we are. We have a choice. We can choose the tree of life, or we can choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can become, we can put the label Christian on the old tree. I'm going to propose to you that the cross that they nailed Jesus on was the old family tree. There ain't no room on that cross for you. There's only room at a different tree. And he wants you to boldly come to the throne of grace where you can find mercy, receive mercy, and find grace. Live from a family tree that influences the family tree of the world. Oh, I know I said it. It was in my spooky movie. One time in my city, There was a man. We have a painting on the wall of one of our museums. It used to be the city hall in our city. And the painting on the wall is a fish with all of creation coming out of it. That's actually Dagon. All of creation coming out of the god, the fish god, fertility. It's painted on the wall. One night, there was a man standing with it. He was brooding with a hood on, and he was in a trance in front of that picture, Nandam. And me and two other pastors, we walked up, this is back in my spooky days, and we walked up and we saw him in the trance, and we began to do like Shikara Satana. Sikura Satana. The guy looked at us, Wura Shikara Tiki. So one interpretation is Shikura Masatana. And the guy looked at us and he starts walking through the city. We're walking behind him. And he's going, he looks back at us and keeps going farther. And we won't do it. All of a sudden, he goes to a priest. He goes over to a priest. And the policeman walks up to me and he's on the pastor. And the policeman's got this kind of this smirky smile on his face. And he says, that man says that the spirit in you is making the spirits in him nervous. I say that because it was one of him and three of us. But the policeman says that. He said that spirit in you, the single one spirit in the three of you, is making the many spirits in him nervous. And so we said, yeah, we realize that. But we're just making sure that our city is protected from the many spirits that are there. Yes.
Now, I shared that to tell you that the kingdoms of the world are many spirits, but the kingdom of God is one spirit. But the kingdoms of the world are influenced by many spirits that are spirits of division, spirits of, because that's what the knowledge of good and evil does. The knowledge of good and evil creates pluralities of opinions, divisions. The kingdoms of the world are divided. Even right now, even the Islam world is divided. It's divided against itself. It will not stand. I'm sorry, I hate to bust your bubble, but Islam is not stronger. Antichrist of any kind is not stronger than Christ. And right now, there are more Muslims going to Christ than any other people group on planet Earth. There is an eternal grassroots revolution. The kingdom of God is stronger than the kingdoms of this world. So I'm not afraid of the kingdoms of the world. Now, the kingdoms of the world could cost me my natural head. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. They could cut my head off. They could crucify me. Some of our good brothers and sisters, that's happening right now. Oh, it's the great persecution, for goodness sakes. Look at the church. Ask your mama. You were birthed in persecution, for goodness sake. The church always comes through every hardship. But the truth is, the church is not protected from hardship. She's protected in hardship. And whenever the enemy comes, the weapons that the enemy used become the very weapons that turn on the enemy. And God takes what the enemy intends for evil and he turns it for good. Yes. There is an enemy and it's not good, but God is good.
Yeah. Amen.
And he's proving that the kingdom of God is greater than the kingdoms of the world. So now, in the Kutneys, when it comes to the natural kingdoms of the Kutneys, the families, there's a family tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that family tree can sometimes cause confusion in the family. And the family can get at odds with one another. And they turn on one another. And they hate one another. And they don't come for family reunions anymore. They don't come for Christmas parties. Or they don't show up for Canadian Thanksgiving anymore. They don't show up for the holidays. They don't come around anymore because there's divisions in the family, right? Because, and why? Why would there be divisions? Because of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what happens when that same thing comes into the church? There's all these divisions that come because we know something. Well, they did this, and he did this, and she did that, and they said this, and I know what they did because the word says it, and I measure them by it. And I measure them by it because after all, the word is given so that I can measure up. You know, not even the law was given so that you could measure others. The law was given to measure you. It's the only thing the law measures. The only thing your conscience measures. The only thing that law measures and the only thing that conscience measures is you. And it measures you to tell you you come up short. You know what you need? You need something not more than law. You need God's love. You need something more than your conscience. Your conscience won't be good enough. Leave you alone to your conscience, and pretty soon we're going to have to build a boat. We'll get the animals and sail away. Conscience will leave you up like Noah, maybe even the movie though. Maybe that. So the kingdoms of the world, there's an administration of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But here we are, verse 16, and I am saying to you tonight, whoa, God, I want the tree of life. I want the family tree that's our family tree. You know, the meanest animal in the world, I know I've told you this one before, the meanest animal in the world, if you go down in the southern parts of the United States, you can find, they got stories about crocodile eaters. Crocodile eaters have crocodile heads at one end and alligator heads at the other end. Big teeth at both ends, crocodile head and alligator head. They're a mean animal, a crocodile. But there's a meaner animal than a crocodile. You know what it is? A Christian. You know what a Christian is? They used to have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's how they made their decision. They ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But
But then they got the love of God, the tree of life, and they started eating that. But you know what? They forgot to let go of the other head. So they got no rear end. They got no ability to get rid of anything. So they're worse off than they were before because they're no longer living by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're trying to live by the tree of life, and they got no way to poop anything. And Christianity has become Instagram. Oh, no, don't hate me yet. I'm trying to help us. I know you. You asked me to come back. So what I'm saying, and I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me in America. I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to the body of Christ. God wants to do miracles this year in your families. He wants to do miracles in the communities. He wants to do miracles on planet Earth. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, not one room. There are many streams that come from the fountains of life. Come to me and drink, and from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. My kingdom is a kingdom, one spirit, but diversity of expression. One spirit, diversity of expression. And God's wanting to influence the kingdoms of the world by the kingdom of God in a greater way, and it's going to involve a partnership. Now, Isaiah 61, let me go there. Now, I'm going to read what this verse is. Okay, first of all, I'm going to read the verses, and we'll talk about what it doesn't say, and what it doesn't say, and what it does say. Okay? So I love these verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Really good news to the destitute. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, Jubilee, and the day of vengeance, kick butt to the enemy, the day of vengeance of our God, not the day of get even of you, but the day of vengeance of our God to our enemy, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, looking at these verses, this is the collision of two kingdoms. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus, or in this case, Jesus and the family tree, Christ and the body of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon this family to be a collision to the kingdoms of the world. So if I'm looking at these verses, I can say when I choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'm going to end up in poverty, some kind of poverty, poor, destitution. The poverty of the poor is what? Their poverty. It's not the fact they don't have anything, it's their thinking. But the kingdoms of the world will leave you poor. They'll leave you brokenhearted. The kingdoms of the world are brokenhearted. The kingdoms of the world are captives. The kingdoms of the world are bound. The kingdoms of the world have lost their family name, their inheritance, their name. The kingdoms of the world are in need of deliverance. Someone to come and kick butt of the enemy. The kingdoms of the world are left mourning. The kingdoms of the world need to be consoled. They can't make clear decisions. Their mourning has clouded their decisions. The kingdoms of the world are left in ashes. The kingdoms of the world are in great lamentation. The kingdoms of the world are under heaviness. And they're all fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. So now, here comes a different kind of human being. A human being with the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Ah, a different human being, not God. Man! Jesus, Savior, a new firstborn of many who would become the seed
became one so that the harvest would be plentiful. The shoot came forth from the stump so that a branch would bring forth, and the branch would spring forth to a family tree. And the Spirit of the Lord is on this family. And so we can look at it, we can say, wow, goodness, look at this. The family of the tree of life preaches really good tidings. They bring healing. The family tree of life brings liberty. They proclaim liberty. For goodness sakes, they open prison doors. They bring freedom to those who are bound. Isn't it wonderful? The anointing of the Lord proclaims jubilee. Lands restored. Debts forgiven. Family names bought back again. The Spirit of the Lord on the family tree of life brings kick butt to the adversary. Cast out every demon of hell. The Spirit of the Lord brings comfort. The Spirit of the Lord brings consolation so that those who are mourning so much they're confused and can't make clear decisions can be free. Those who are in the family tree bring beauty. And they bring the oil of joy. And they bring the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the church has been focusing here as the family tree. The family tree. Oh, yes, I want the family tree, the community of God. I want to be part of the community of God because I'm going to bring really good news and healing to the brokenhearted, liberty, freedom from their bondage, restored name, and freedom from the enemy, and comfort and consolation, and beauty and joy and praise. Oh, don't we want it? But the truth is, why is that anointing on the family tree? So that they will be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I'm proclaiming to you prophetically that we're in a season and a time, for such a time as this, that the Spirit of the Lord is not upon us merely to bring freedom, but it's to plant free trees who are trees of righteousness in the coupes that will bring glory to God in heaven, and they will build, they will raise up, and they will make things new.
Hallelujah.
Because the purpose of the kingdom of God is to build, to raise up, and to make things new. Where? Now. Here. We're not anointed by the Spirit to free people. We're anointed by the Spirit to plant free people who will build, raise up, and make things free. Who will look at their pile of rubble, who will look at their pile of trouble, and say, this is awesome preaching material for the world of my fault. His name is going to be glorified in the coup. His name is going to be glorified in my parents. His name is going to be glorified because there's an anointing upon us to cause people to be who they should be so that they can be planted, rooted, permanent. No end. Trees of right relationship. Trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. Why? So that he'll be glorified. What are they doing? They're going to build. They're going to raise up. They're going to make things new. You see, the kingdoms of the world can't do it. The tree of the knowledge of the good and evil can't build it. The kingdoms of the world, world mentality, can't raise things up. The knowledge of good and evil is not enough to raise things up. The knowledge of good and evil cannot make things new. So the kingdoms of the world are left in poverty, brokenhearted, in captivity, bondage, loss of inheritance, destiny, and family name, in need of deliverance, mourning, confusing their decision because of their mourning and the gnashing lamentation and heaviness. But God wants to do something. And He is doing something. And those of you that have heard me before, you know that I say there is grace of God to work in the earth. We're in a move of God. We're in a move of the Spirit. We have been for 16 years now. This is 16. And it's different than the previous move. The previous move is all about His resurrection life and aware of His presence. And the present move is about being aware of who He is and who He is. Previous move is being aware of His presence. Present move is being aware of who He is. And now you're going to be aware of who you are. Because there's a shift. You know who He is? He's the one who moved. He's never going to change that. Maybe one or two of you, He wants to get you out of your circumstances. Maybe not 100% of you wants to move into your circumstances. You're not too proud. He's the God of heaven who came down here. He's the God who wants to move into your family. He wants to move into your neighborhood. He wants to move into your house. Right now, He's moving to places you don't think He should. Blessing people you don't think you should bless. People are speaking in tongues. Shouldn't be able to speak in tongues. Shouldn't be allowed to speak. I travel. I see lots of people. Lots of people do. I moved a couple hundred thousand miles again last year. I see lots of people do. In Africa, I minister to groups of people. I have, this will be a shock to you. Now, don't put your nose in the air. You want to make a judgment of this, but I can point out things in your life too, because you see the cultures that you are in have shaped how you think. And the cultures that you are in are not like the culture of the kingdom of heaven. Sorry. And I go to pastors in Africa and they say, you find your wife? And their answer might be this. Well, God gave me a sign. What was your sign? Well, the one I got pregnant was the sign that she was born. That's the kingdoms of the world that left that mindset in that individual. I ministered to pastors. Some pastors have three wives. So what do? Do I tell them to get rid of two wives? Keep one? I don't. You know what I tell them? I said, boy, that's screwed up. But you know what? You got to be a husband to all three wives and teach your children a better way. See, some of you like the easy recipe. Just go to law. And be with the law cleaned up. Make it look nice. And did you know that those pastors that I just talked to you about who said, I need to lose my wife because she's one of I'm using the word pastor to shock you a little bit because it's true. But I could take a stick and run around too. And you know what? They're speaking tongues. God loves them. Does that mean that God endorses their way of life? No. It means God loves me. He loves me and He doesn't endorse my way of life. He's invited you to move into His. So this is a year of partnership to move into the kingdom of God and the deep level. You know what? It's an internal kingdom. And I think He wants us to make a partnership with Him. A partnership where faith, hope, and love work, where the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, will take on a greater dimension of fulfilling the purposes of God. I don't expect the kingdoms of the world to be the kingdom of God. But I do expect the kingdom of God to consume the kingdoms of the world.
Yes.
Now, I'm not looking to change the world by external influence. I'm looking to change the world by internal transformation.
Yeah.
So I would love it if there's some godly people who come in the world, but godly people are not going to change the world. You know what's going to change the world? God.
That's right.
And I would love it if all the leaders of the kingdoms of the world would become God. I would love it. But you know what? I believe that some of the kings in the kingdom of the world are going to become godly without knowing they're becoming godly. I'm looking for partnership. Looking for what's happening in planet Earth right now that's going to enable God's people to build, raise up. What's going to happen if the coup is here in 2016 and they able to empower us to build, raise up, and make this real life? Say you have a family and you used to come together. Have a reunion, you come together for holidays, something happens, you don't come together anymore. Or you don't come together completely. It's just say that. I know there's nobody in the room that's like that. It's something that she says. Somebody who has that situation. And here we are in 2016. You're a member of your family, and you say, what is the will of God for my family? And here's what I'm proposing to you. To listen for the sound that builds, raises up, and makes things better. This is for the sound that builds, raises up, and makes things better. Because the Spirit of the Lord has called me to free people. But I'm not listening for the sound of making free people. There's a lot of people who've been made free and the world hasn't changed. The biggest problem in Africa is there's not a 100-year flood. What's the 100-year plan in the Philippines? Do you have one? A 100-year plan looks like this. It looks like God saying to Abraham, Abraham, making a covenant with you. Bless you, I'll bless you. Multiply, I will multiply you. Your descendants will possess the gates of the earth. And through your seed, all the families of your people. It looks like this. Paul, spiritual father, comes to a son, Timothy. Timothy, find faithful men who are able to teach you. Others also. A 100-year plan looks like a generational mindset that doesn't live for a moment, but lives for eternity. This is a family tree. It lives to be a blessing. It lives to multiply. It lives to see the next generation possess what can't be possessed now. Looks for the generation beyond that to be a generation of blessing. Looks for the increase. Spend more time thinking about the future. Getting out of your situation. Look for how can I partner this year to further the covenants of God? How can I partner this year to see faith, hope, and love work together for the purpose of planting free trees that can build, raise up, and make things good? There's lots of trees in the food. I'm looking for a partnership this year. I'm looking for a partnership with the Spirit of God, a partnership with the Tree of Life, a partnership with faith, hope, and love. Faith, the opposite of faith is natural sight. Don't look at what happened, what should have happened, what didn't happen. That's not one of the partners. Don't look at
Your disappointments, hope delayed, makes the heart sick. When you put your hope in the one, who is the one to hope in? He gives abundant mercy, passion, pardon. He's not limited. He gives beginnings. He gives endings. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen in the house that's built is the house of love. What is it going to take? Now, I'm going to share a little testimony. I minister in many different places. One place I minister to, they're good with this. I can share it. We're different. And they called me a spiritual father in their life. And we're different. It's really weird because I'm thinking that if I'm spiritual father, they should be the same. And God's funny. And he's doing things like weird. And I want to tell them what I believe, and I want them to believe what I believe, and I do. I want to tell them what I believe, and I want them to believe what I believe, but they don't believe what I believe. They do other things, but they love me. And I was ready to say, I'm not going to. Now, when I say that, in case this message got out and heard it, I want to say this too. It was only reason that I would, even in my heart, would say, I'm not going there anymore. It's not because I didn't want to go there anymore, it's because I don't want to hurt them. I want the best for them. So I'm willing not to go there if it's the best interest in them. That was where my heart. And they know that because we've had this conversation. And then God spoke to me while I'm ministering to them. And I made a statement. I'll say the statement to you. Because relationships are destroyed when we think saying what we believe is more important than loving those we love. And God said, I've given this church to you as a gift, huh? I've given this church to you as a gift so that you don't have to say what you believe. But you can love those you love. And so I'm saying to the Coopies tonight, I'm saying to you and your families, I'm saying that this is a brand new season, and it's a season of partnership, faith, hope, and love, for such a time as this. He's saying the greatest day is now. And that that's set before you is a grace of heaven where the family tree, the tree of life, becomes the tree. It invades the many trees of the cookies that are based upon the knowledge of good and evil, and the many divisions. So that the tree of life can come. The tree of life can come through its diverse expressions. And a family can emerge. A community can emerge out of the communities of the people, not church, such as a single congregation, or many congregations. Many mansions, rooms, and father's house can emerge in the community and understand love is more important than we think.
Yeah.
And one in me is willing to not express what I believe for the sake of loving those. I believe there's grace right now. I'm talking to me too. I'm talking to me. Partnership. Partnerships can build, raise up, and make things new. Partnerships where hope can live. Partnerships where faith can abide. Works through love. Not love, impossible to have faith because if you don't love the one who's speaking, you'll never hear what they say. If you can't hear what they say, you have no faith, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing what someone says in your heart. You say, hey God, I know you've got the verse on your refrigerator. You know you've memorized it. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. I know you've got it now. The Bible says, I know it too. I too with the Lord. I'm talking real everyday language. Faith will come when God speaks to you. Something you didn't do. I wasn't so smart to figure out when something happened in the church.
and love and a partnership, faith, hope, and love. It causes the purposes of God to come to you. See, God is bringing forth his family. We will raise up faith into the desolation. He goes as far as saying this in Isaiah 61, verse 5, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. What do you think about that? And the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vineyards. What do you think about that? I feel you've been working it so hard. All of a sudden, sons of foreigners come and they work in with you. You should be named priests of the Lord. And they should call you servants of the Lord. You should eat the riches of the Gentiles. What are you going to do? Eat the riches of the Gentiles. You know, so long the church has wanted to steal what the Gentiles have. Maybe the riches of the Gentiles. Gentiles are simply those who are not in the covenant of God. And sometimes those who are not in the covenant. Don't let the secrets of God. In their glory you shall boast. What glory? What would their glory be? What would the glory of the Muslims be? We all say, oh, Islam is a great religion. That's not the glory of the Muslims. How about if we all say no religion is a great religion? Christ and you is the hope of the world. That would be the glory of the Muslims. In their glory. And alive in Christ. That's what I want. Say, your shame, you shall have double honor. Say, the confusion, you shall rejoice in the future. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess nothing. And lasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. For his justice system is given. Let me look at one other verse, set of verses, and we're not going to be done. Turn to Isaiah 11. We're going to come back to Isaiah 61 from the time this weekend. Let's go to Isaiah 11 a moment. You know, I can't read it without going to Isaiah 11. Can you see? Isaiah 11. God loves justice, doesn't he? You agree? He loves justice. So here's his justice. There should come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is the old tree. Jesse is the father of David. David is the type of Christ. Jesse is the dad, the natural dad. The natural tree gets cut down. The old family tree, daddy, cut down with a stump. From the stump there comes a shoot. From the shoot, a branch should grow. The branch is the family tree. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowing, the Spirit of fear of the Lord rests on that branch, that family tree. His delight, his family tree, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge. What does it say? He shall not judge by the sight of his eye. Nor decide the hearing of you. Lord. This is my family. What kind of family are you? I've had to walk out some things in my life that I think were pathetic for the day they were in. And I'll share a personal testimony. I was with a pastor for 15 years. I moved to three states with him. He's a worship leader for him for 15 years. The last move I moved with the pastor was 2,000 some miles. And one day, the Spirit of the Lord was leading me into the ministry, calling me into ministry, and I approached the pastor and I said, I believe that God's calling me into ministry. What do you think? He said, it's a big mistake. You have no fivefold gift. He said, I don't need a fivefold gift. I just
just feel God speaking to me. I don't know what this is, but I feel that God's speaking to me. And so I began to be a street minister. And took the pastor off the street with the kid. I began to do off the street ministry. And God was leading me in that direction. And finally, where I went to the path, I said to him, I'm asking you to lead. Is God saying anything to me about the street ministry? He said, no. He said, he's really speaking to me. He's really strong. I really feel like he's pursued it. And I'm asking you to release me. And I said, my friend, this pastor, my father, my spiritual father, said, he spoke a curse over me. Told me my ministry would be cut short. And if there's any spies in the camp, a lot of you are using that for fuel for the fire. Said, my ministry would be cut short. And then it was a big mistake, and so I went away, and he told the church they couldn't talk to me, they couldn't have anything to do with me, they couldn't believe in me, and my kids were little. And so I sat down with my children, my son, who's now my pastor these days. At that time, he was maybe 9, 10. His brother was 9. And I sat them down, and I said, okay. I said, our friends are confused, but they're our friends. And they're not going to talk to us, and they're not going to wave to us, but we're Hansons. And we don't do that. So when we see them, we're going to believe in them. When we see them, we're going to try to talk to them, we're going to do everything we can. And they live on the same driveway that I do. And I used to pull the car over, tighten up, and couldn't be fine, and then stop. And I'd hold the window down and say, hey, how are you doing? Like breakfast. My boys would be in there watching. I never stopped talking to them. I never stopped waving at them. They wouldn't wave at us. They wouldn't talk to us. Okay. 6 months after I left, the church closed. That was that church. They closed. And this pastor became an associate with another ministry in the city. Then, on my journey, I was in the street ministry. I ended up being an associate pastor of the church. It ended up birthing a church from the street ministry. It ended up being a church with 200 and some people. And then, one night, the anointing of a prophetess, one of the ladies in the church decided that her opinion was more important than love. And so, she resigned, went on a phone campaign, 140 people out of the church. Left 60 people in the church. And the next day, the senior leader left, and I was left with 60 as the associate pastor. In the meantime, there's this other man, pastor, my previous pastor, who won't talk to me. Wait a minute. He's now a part of another church in town. Now I've been left as associate pastor. The senior guys left, and I've been left with 3 failed businesses, 60 wounded people, 140 fire-breathing people, with a big tattoo on my chest. It looks like a bulldog. And somebody comes to my door, and they knock on my door, and one of the people in the business, and they're looking for this person that was the senior leader who was left. And they're asking for him. My staff members are sitting there in my 60-80 wounded people church. And I walk over to the door, and they say, where is, I'm just going to give you a name that's not true, where is Ralph? Ralph Jones, where is he? And I walk over, and I said, hi, I'm Ralph Jones. What do you need me to do? You blankety blankety, you effing blankety blankety blank, I can't believe you did this. I'm really sorry. You bloody blank. I mean, it's like my dad was looking at me thinking, he just told me that he's Ralph. So I fix it. I walk through the situation. In the meantime, this other pastor ends up using another church, and guess what they do? They start a burden. It's open to God. I'm a pastor. Can I hear it? I'm a pastor. So I go to the prayer meeting. Every Tuesday. I make it simple. I go there. Gureke andala boshuko tanya sukura. What's the good word? You know what they are. You don't need to know what they are. For 1 year, I pray every week. Every week, that pastor, and get that pastor. And then, 2.5 years down the pike, after I become senior pastor, I'm sitting now for churches. These things have been burned. Thousands have been saved, hundreds have been healed. Life is done, the business has been closed, God's been blessing. And this man comes to my office, his previous pastor, and he sits down. And he starts crying. And he says, I was wrong in your life if you couldn't. And I said, it's not a problem. You're my friend. I'm sharing with you real life testimony because I'm telling you, God wants us as the body of Christ to become the community that affects the communities of the world. And we can't be the community of God if we hold on to the tree of knowledge and good. We know a lot about trees and trees. And we're learning about the tree of life. I believe that God's going to do some amazing miracles. I'm not talking about God bringing things back together the way it was, because that's not what the time is. The time is not. The time is this. And for such a time as this, God wants to bring his anointing, but his anointing rests upon us, not because of what we can see, not because of what we can hear. We read the next lines, it says, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. That's literally saying, I make decisions for you based on who I am, not based upon what you can or cannot do. I decide with equity for the meek and the earth. I decide with equity for the meek and the. Now, if he was the devil, this next verse would be bad. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Have you ever felt the rod of his mouth? I'll give you another prophetic word that's this year, and it was given prophetically last Sunday in our church by a lady, and I believe it's from the body of Christ. She walked up in front of the church, she had a sword in her hand, and she had this word. She had a sword, and the word basically is this. It's time in the body of Christ to sheath their sword. So that God can use his son. Can I tell you something? That the Bible, the scripture, the word of God is not for. It's not for defending. Jesus never used the word to defend. The word is one purpose. One purpose. We've taken the very words that God said, and we've used them. We call them the sword. We said, everybody's got your sword, and you've held up your Bible, which is a lie. Because it's not, the Bible is not the ring, it's the logos. And the sword is not the logo. The sword is the name. And so, when we use the word of God against one another, or when you use the word of God against yourself, I'm speaking good things. I'm saying God wants to be, and I'm not just speaking to the people. I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on the plant. God's picking up the plant. He's saying, come on, I believe you. I know you are. We're the family of God. We got a different tree. The family tree is life. And the God will use his sword. His sword is a two-edged sword of love. He's able to change hearts. He doesn't condone everything we do, but he loves us enough to transform our hearts and change us. You fix the outside, you haven't fixed anything. You fix the inside, you'll change everything. But with equity, he makes decisions. Who he is makes the decision. So, Holy Spirit, we want to partner. We want to partner with you. We want to partner with faith, hope, and love. Or we cannot do this. We cannot do this in the natural. We cannot do this with the natural sight. But I know you want to do some major, 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 really good thing here. It should come in every aspect. Every aspect of your coming. You're doing something right now. You revealed that you are willing to move from our neighborhood, but you want to reveal that we are willing. We become the substance of you. For God, we put our hope in you tonight. We put our hope in you tonight for our families. God, we need the grace of the kingdom of heaven. We want our children and our children's children to know your love and know you. Lord, I want the families of the cookies. I want the families of these churches. There's not one congregation here. There are many people from many. Fact that every time I have come here, different congregations have come. Some have come out of hurt from places. Some have come out of hunger. It doesn't matter. They've come together every time I come. Your people have come together. And it's what you've been saying. You want your people together, the strong together, far apart. But you didn't bring them together merely to experience your blessings. You brought us together so that we could be planted, so that things could be built. These are not the only people. God, you want to reach right here in the Castle Valley, and in the trail, in the Nelson, in the Fruitvale, Gosling, in the Salmo, Preston, in this whole area. You want to reach right into the woods. You want to reach right into these many trees, and you want to bring forth a family that knows a tree that is stronger than any tree, the tree of life, the tree of life. The tree that is willing to not know. God, you want that tree to be a planted tree, a strong tree in this area that brings healing, that brings the people in this region are bound, they're frightened. Some came running from this or running from that. Almost nobody came running to. God, I ask you to allow your anointing, bring your anointing, the Spirit of the Lord. Anointing me, preach me good news to the poor. I say that on us. Spirit of the Lord, He's anointed us. Preach really good news to the poor. He has sent us to heal the broken hearted. Oh, He has anointed us, sent us to open the prison doors for those who are bound. He has sent us to proclaim the acceptable year, the jubilee, restoration of God. The victory over the enemy, the days of vengeance of our God to every foe, to every enemy that is held. Anointings upon us and your family. That we would bring comfort and mourn. That we would console those who mourn in the place of decision on earth inside of. We can't make decisions clear because of mourning. You sent us to bring them. There's an anointing upon our family. There's an anointing upon us to bring beauty for ashes. Not just any beauty, each one's beauty. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. The Spirit of heaven for one reason. Why? So that they will be trees of righteousness. God will welcome you to do crazy things. You want me to pour out your spirit where we don't think you should pour out your spirit. You want me to pour your spirit out on our mother-in-law and brother-in-law. Pour your spirit out on our bosses. Pour your spirit out on our neighbors.
Pour your spirit out on the fornicators, the adulterers, the homosexuals. Pour your spirit out on all the time. Pour your spirit out on all flesh. Pour your spirit out on them before the fall. Come on. Pour your spirit out on them before they fall. Pour your spirit out. Talking tongues before the Lord. My friend Henry was telling us what I'm talking tongues before the Lord. Pour out your spirit. Then cause them to be planted as trees of righteousness. My relationship with you. People who know they're born to be loved by you. And therefore, they know that they're born to be loved. Lord, don't ask you to know anymore. Let there be. The trees of this valley become the trees of the family of life, the fields, the raises up. And it's in the world. Who's going to raise things up? Who's going to make it real? Come on, who's going to build? Who's going to raise things up?
Yes. Yep. You bet.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
I say it can happen here. Yes. I say it can happen here. Yes. It can be built. It can be raised up. It can be made new. Yes. Not one.
Yes.
In such time as this. I call it God right here in Trail, the Gossip, the Fruitville, and Salmo, and Nelson, Casadar. God cause it to be built to be made beautiful.
Yes.
Come on. That which was meant to be from the generations. That which was made desolate. More are the children of the desolate. Made desolate so that it can be made super. Lost its way in information so they can find its way by translation. God, I lost my way in information. But I'm finding my way by this is to you, but this is to the body of Christ. And it didn't surprise to you. And I'm saying this to you, but I'm saying this to the body of Christ. I'm going to mess with a song, I said. Okay? Because we said he's in the days of Elijah. And I hear God saying he's not. He's in the days of Elijah. He's in the days of a double check. He's in the days of a these are days for sowing and weeping. These are days for liberty. This is not a day of binding and judgment. This is a day of freedom and liberty. And this is a word to you. That's a word to the body of Christ. Well, there are those who have been bound in the catacombs of the past. They're going to be free from the tombs into the liberty of life. Well, these are not the days of Elijah. These are the days of Elisha. Don't prepare another moment for what is already at hand. I prophesy that to you. I prophesy that to the group of people in this valley who have loved the days of Elijah more than the days of Elisha. These are the days of Elisha. These are the days of freedom. These are the days of liberty. These are the
These are the days for sowing. These are the days for reaping. These are the days for double portions. And double portions are original, made new.
Yes.
Come on. You're an original, made new. These are the days for originals. There was a time when the enemy tried to knock the wind off, tried to knock the wind out of the wind out of your souls. He's left you dead in the water. Great hopes long over. God says, you're catching the breath. You're catching the breath. So what happened? Under breath. Under breath of your home, under breath of your family, under breath of your vision, under breath of your living. And God has one decision to you. Gates of the city are perfect. This is a good season. This is a good season. It's a good season. We think you step back from some things, but you're about to step in.
Oh, I stepped in.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the issue. I'm not talking about the issue. I'm talking about new shoes. I'm talking about new shoes. New shoes that you guys are going to just find it. You're going to find your footsteps. You're going to find your footsteps, and you're going to find the earth is waiting for your feet. And you know, come on, plenty of stuff has happened, not yet. So, you want new shoes, fish on the shoes, and all about that. And God gives you new shoes. ran in the back of the gray sweater. I count a lot of no faces. Lord, I see lots of question marks. And God says He's straightening out the question marks. And He wants to say that there's plenty of material to make huge exclamations. And you've had all these questions. You questioned a lot of things. There were things that you knew that you don't know anymore. And there were things that you believed, you're not sure you believed anymore. And there's like these question marks. Cooked with it up. And God says He's straightening out the question marks and they're going to make a bigger explanation for you. More over the page. They do not have any questions. Okay, now, don't look for answers as much as you look for the explanation. God says he's about to highlight your life. He's about to highlight things in your life. He's making a point. But his point is not a point of anger, it's a point of love. And you can't have a point of love that's big enough unless there wasn't a question mark first. And that question mark, that crook makes that point of love even taller.
Yeah.
And I just see the questions of your life, the things that you could have been able to figure out. God's just bringing these exclamation points into your life.
Good.
You're about to see testimony after testimony after testimony. Good. You're about to see testimony after testimony after testimony. And God making His point. His point is that I love you.
Yeah.
You're about to see, you're going to be a carrier of that. I see that there's a grace on your life. There's a grace on your life to make that point. There's a grace on your life to make that point with the people's lives. And God says that mantle is going to be on you where you're going to come. You're going to find also people. God loves people with questions. He loves question marks all over their heads. Because question marks are a greater opportunity for a big explanation. God's about to make His point. I love you, Lord.
Yeah.
I see you going through this community, and I see you making God's point. I love you. And I see people like people with needs. People with needs. They got bags, needs. And they got questions. When are these things going to be filled? When are these things going to be filled? And you're coming in and you're. And you're not filling the bags as much as you're stepping to the right point. Mirrors that are just transforming things in their lives. And God says, I'm making my point. Impossible situations, bags that can't be filled. Oh, and they're going to find themselves holding something different. You know what they're going to be holding? They're going to be holding tools of creativity.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got some tools of creativity. You've got some tools of creativity. God says it's time to pick them up.
Yeah. Woo! Oh, yeah!
Make my point. Yeah, come on.
Good job.
Yeah, good job. Hey, John is about to show up. It's an invasion. I see this water of life springing out of you. I see just a splash. Oh my goodness. I don't just see water, I see fire. I see water, I see fire. I see things that get the attention of the heart. God says, I got the attention of your heart that you haven't seen. I'm about to show you. I'm about to show you my extravagance. I'm about to show you how much I care. And then that's going to come out of every sound that you make, every expression that you make. It's going to come. And it's going to be just this. Sometimes it comes as water. Sometimes it comes as fire. Sometimes it comes. And it's not the. It just comes with this expression, but it's not the expression, it's the source of the expression. Oh man, you're bringing forth the revolution of the universe. God's invading your heart. Invading your heart. Invading your heart. You're going to see that there's a couple of people around you that are really strong they say it's their convictions, but some of the couple of things that they're really strong in, is that they're strong in their is immovability. So you're going to see the mountain. And you're going to see that some people that you know are really going to experience the love of God in a way that's just going to be just beautiful.
In the world you will have tribulation, but in me you have. So be of good cheer. Set your eyes on me. For I have overcome the world. Oh, be of good cheer. Lift up your eyes. Open your heart. And see what I see. For I have overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. In the world you will have sorrows, but my joy is yours even now. Open your heart and let me. Open your eyes and see what I see. Open your ears and hear my heart to you. For I have overcome the world. Yes, I have overcome the world. And I put my word within you. And I put my spirit in you. So rise up, sons and daughters of the living God. And we will walk through this world. And we will walk through this world. Let the past be the past. I am with you. The future. Your future is in my hand, and my love, it has conquered and overcome. Even now, everything that is against you, rise up. Son, my daughter, rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up who you are in me. In the world you have tribulation, but in me you have peace. Rise up. Rise up. In the peace of your God. Step out. Step out. Peacemakers. Rise up, rise up, in the peace of your God. Step out, peacemakers.
Yeah. God is moving forward. He's saying, son, daughter, move with me. Move with me. We're moving forward. We're leaving the past behind. You don't understand this. It's like stepping out on the waters. But the old boat, it's come to its place. It's come to the end of the old boat. And God says, it's time to walk through this. I am with you. 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 No, not ever will I leave you. No, never, not ever. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am changing the world anew. I can change the whole world. Father, we just say yes to you, say yes to your spirit. We thank you, God, that this is the year for greater victory for our families, for our homes, for our cities, for our community. We say yes to your spirit. We thank you for the partnership that we have with you, for the partnership that we have with one another. We thank you for the substance of faith, hope, and love. We thank you that this is a year where we're going to see building, raising up, and things made new.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Give him honor. He's with you.
So we welcome you to come back tomorrow night, 6:30. See you then.
I told her you'd drive. She said,
oh, wow. Question.
Soft.